You are listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, Episode 4 for April 2009.
It's hell a thousand years of gold green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a super plan, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Osmond Shore. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's a real one, Hal Jordan.
Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find all the latest news and reviews on everything Green Lantern and talk about it on their forums. Check them out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster of the Green Lantern Spotlight and bootleg t-shirt creator. We are doing a little something different on the Spotlight this month. We're still going to talk about Green Lantern, but we're going to talk about the current status of Justice League of America and the upcoming mini by James Robinson. As always, I have my top talented podcasters with me today, W. West, the man behind Wally World blog on the Green Lantern Core message board, and always in need of a new mic. How you doing, West?
I'm good.
Kuhan, creator and webmaster of the Parkcast, an Australian international sensation. How's it going there, Hannah Montana?
here's my question. Who would they tell that the Spotlight sent them? I mean, who are they supposed to tell?
I don't know. I try to sound cool. Rainer 2814 will hopefully be joining us a little later. He's at work.
And this is Andrew NDB, host of www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. Just kind of Monday morning quarterbacking here. I'll just be kind of offering my 2 cents here and there. Don't mind me.
And joining us for the first time is Muzar, better known as Colton Clayton, or we call him Colt here. So how you doing there, Moo?
Oh, great. You know, just waiting for you to pronounce my name right.
Exactly. You're going to be waiting a long time. I never pronounce anybody's name right. That's these guys.
Mew.
It's not Moo like cow, it's Mew like
I know
Pokemon.
It's Mew. I know. I watch Pokemon, too.
Everyone has.
I know you're tired of a Kuhan. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself there, Mew? Mew? See, I'm doing it again.
Well, as some of you may know, I've been a Green Lantern fan for a while, been onto the site for a while, but my Green Lantern love really started with, I know it's kind of cant, but the Super Friends.
I love me. Aww.
You haven't started there.
Aww.
The mid-90s reruns.
Of course.
Exactly.
But from there, I kind of just didn't see much Green Lantern coming from the animated side, and I didn't get into comics until just the past few years, so when I saw the chance to see my favorite character again, I thought, you know, jump into Rebirth.
There you go.
I've been following DC ever since.
Yes, we have you now.
Your soul is mine.
All your comics are belong to us.
Yes, as well as the rest of the souls of the Orange Lantern Corps. Okay, all right. Well, we're, as always, we're going to start the news here. So, Kuhan, give us a little news playoff there.
Yeah.
That's see? Right. That's how low of a budget we have.
Professional sound effects.
Totally.
No sound of applause until Philip Tan's with us the next time.
No. You know, we're not pulling anything, man. No, going all out.
Exactly.
We need the sound effects guy from we need the sound effects guy from Police Academy.
Oh, there you go.
Oh gosh.
Relax.
I don't know if we could hire him. We got 25 cents and a ball of flint.
You have a ball of flint? You're richer than me. All right. Well, the first bit of news: the trailer for Green Lantern First Flight was just recently released, and it looks pretty awesome. I'm getting a little better used to the armor look, but I'm not 100% sold on it. But the most interesting bit of news is Sinestro is wearing his Sinestro Corps uniform in it.
More interesting to me was Abinsur's face.
Yeah, I thought that he was either he was cut up, but at the same time, like, he looks a little bit like Fleas. He's not an Orange Lantern.
He had, like, horns and stuff. That was weird, man.
It was.
Extreme!
I was really cut up in the crash.
Yeah, like, he had some stuff coming out of his... He had, like, I think it was some sort of beard, like, alien beard or something.
Because, remember, bald is beautiful, but a goatee sells it.
Yeah.
Tribute to Dio.
yeah, he's sitting at home going, that's right, it's all about me. That's why we're all
it looks like, you know, those crazy people that you see on the subway that have, like, they have their beard tied into, like, knots. They have their beard braided. That's what it looked like.
Kind of like Sam Jackson and Jackie Brown, how he had the whole goatee tied up their braid.
Weird, man.
I never saw the appeal of that look.
So I know Wes wants to talk about that first. What did you think about that, Wes, besides Abinsur's goatee, horn, whatever you want to call it?
I loved it. I'm pumped for this. I'm pretty sure the armor from the concept... What?
You were so pumped you came on the Flash. I was like, have you seen this yet? Have you seen... Like every 2 minutes, like, you guys gotta see this.
I loved it.
It was pretty cool.
Exactly. I had to play it cool. I love it. The terrible armor from the concept pictures didn't make it, so that's a great thing. And the screaming from Hal isn't something I'm looking forward to, but. But I'm liking the trailers. It seems like a lot of action. As far as the Sinestro Corps uniform, I was kind of hoping we wouldn't see him. Like, they could make a story without bringing all that in. At least in the first film. But let's hope they do it right.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers to it. Not that it didn't look great, but I was just like, oh, wait a minute. Are we a little early to be doing this?
This is how made by Fox.
About 5 minutes in, Hal shows up as Parallax.
What extant there with them saying, I want my brother back.
So, yeah, they've got Green Lantern first fight within the first 10 minutes, Kyle Rayner shows up. And then in 20 minutes, Hal comes back.
It's Green Lantern Abridged.
Like, it all fit in. By the end of the movie, you know, we're showing up.
Yeah, we'll be at Blackest Night before you know it.
Major spoiler.
Exactly.
We'll see all of Blackest Night before the comic comes out.
Yeah, hey, we're getting Public Enemies from Superman, Batman. Why not? So, Mew, what do you think about the trailer?
Well, I found it to be quite interesting. I mean, the Sinestro Corps uniform really sticks out to me because why would he have a different uniform at that point if he hasn't decided to make his core yet?
True.
Shouldn't he be flying around in this little purple suit?
Well, I don't know. According to Booster Gold.
That explains it all. He altered history.
Yeah, Booster Gold, only best of history. It's all Booster Gold's fault.
Yep.
But Jeff Johns wrote this movie.
Oh man, I can't wait till we talk about Orange.
The entire movie's just one big retcon. They're gonna stick it into the comic. It's gonna be part of Hal's history. This is what they're gonna do. What are you talking about? That's not something.
He wanted to look different from everybody else, and the Guardians were just like, oh, look, he's yellow. That's okay.
Jeffka!
What? just like Barry Allen's father, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Bringing you that favorite history that you've never seen.
Forget the top. It was all of a CSI murder. And Kuan, I know you've been expressing your opinion, but what else do you think of the trailer?
I mean, besides the obvious cynicism I'm showing, it was pretty cool.
It was.
that's definitely true. I mean, you know, the armor uniform's a little weird, but you know,
especially on Kilowog, it looks a little weird on him.
Yeah, it's really odd.
He's got enough armor as is.
Yeah, he's a self-defense class instructor now.
I mean, it's probably not, you know, obviously, it can't be that bad. I mean, you know, New Frontier turned out pretty good, and I haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, but Wes loved it.
Oh, that's good. I recommend that.
It definitely is good.
I'll see it when I get the finances for it.
That'll be 2011, right? When it's $6.99 at Borders, right?
$6.99, like $2 at the discount bin at Target. Or is it Target?
My Target's about to get remodeled. I have to drive 20 minutes to get to a Target now.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm
sorry. I have a $0 income.
I really dug the trailer. I think it really got me good and pumped up for the movie. Like I said in the last podcast, I don't have any problem with the armored look to the costumes. I think it's a good preview for what kind of thing we can sort of expect when the live-action movie happens. Kind of a way to brace ourselves for what's coming in that. I think it's much better than, like, I don't know, were people expecting spandex on screen? It doesn't work. I mean, this is the way to go. I don't have a problem with it on Kilowog. I don't have a problem with it on HAL. It looks good. It looks good. And as far as Sinestro's uniform, with the Sinestro Corps uniform, I think you guys are kind of jumping the gun on it. I don't think it's supposed to represent the Sinestro Corps uniforms yet. I think pretty much when Sinestro gets exiled to Quard, he kind of just comes back with that uniform. They didn't want to use the blue uniform because it kind of looks like a jester, and I don't think they were going for the clown look with this movie, which isn't too surprising. And it's kind of a nugget to the fans of the Sinestro Corps, like, hey, it's Sinestro Corps Sinestro. Maybe you can look forward to this in another movie. I don't know. But whatever, it's cool. Looking forward to it.
All right, so yeah, I'm looking really forward to it too. So I think we're all in agreement. We're gonna love it. Hopefully, come July. Here I have my copy reserved. So let's see. All right. Moving on to the biggest news section. It's all about the Blackest Night. It was recently revealed that at the Comics Pro that Blackest Night will now be 8 issues, which includes issue 0, which of course is the prologue, which will be released the first Saturday of May, which will be Free Comic Book Day. The tie-ins, as Johns and DiDito have both told Newsarama, the Green Lantern Corps titles will tell part of the story of Blackest Night along with a miniseries. The Blackest Night editor, Eddie Brazuc, I'm never going to say his name right, Eddie told IGN that it's ideally we're giving you a complete stories in each title, but if you read them as a whole, you're getting a larger view of the threat that is spreading death throughout the universe. Really, I thought it was just to get more money. Anyhow, the tie-ins will be Green Lantern 43, which is where Doug Monkey will be joining as regular artist, and will reveal in issue 43 two of the entities of the other Light Corps as well. One of them will be officially revealed, and one of them will be more of like kind of a teaser, but you'll at least know its name. And then there'll be the Blackest Night Tales of the Corps, which will be written by Johns and Peter Tomasi, and these 3 issues in July will highlight the various Color Lantern Corps, and mostly it's going to focus hugely on the Indigo tribe, which we're finally going to see in those issues.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Indigo.
Go Indigo! They're a bunch of space-hugging hippies, you remember? Though the leader looks very hot. Anyhow. But there will also be the tie-ins, which will be Batman, Superman, Titans, and Justice Society of America will all have Blackest Night, which will basically deal with the various characters revealing to the Blackest Night. Or, in this case, Black Lanterns of their counterparts. Mmm.
The Indigo Lantern going around the universe selling weed.
It's not space weed, it's stardust, remember? Sectors of space, it's stardust as their weed.
Or space powder is white.
Exactly. Oh, man. It's already started. We're barely 15 minutes in. Anywho, so, why don't we go with you, Kuhan? What are you looking forward to the most, besides the space hippies selling weed?
Well, obviously can't wait. It's going to be pretty big. Jeff Johns is obviously revealing nothing. I watched an interview, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool, but I can't tell you anything about it. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
So obviously we'll have to wait and see until it comes.
Wait for Master Johns.
And what about you there, Mew?
Well, there was 2 things I wanted to note. The first thing you said, you counted 0 as part of the 8 issues, but I don't think it counts towards the 8 issues.
It's more of a prologue. I said included.
I
should have phrased that a little different. Forgive me.
And secondly, Johns owes me money for taking my Tales of the Corps idea.
Oh!
I've been talking about that for months now.
Yeah, good luck with that lawsuit.
All I need is a club.
And Geico.
Vandal Staff is on.
Oh, jeez.
And I also think you missed some of the Black Knight titles. Did you mention Wonder Woman and Flash?
Yeah. Oh, well, not Flash. I did mention Wonder Woman. I named the Big Trinity and then the Titans and Justice Society. I completely missed Flash. I don't even have it written here. Oh, Wes is going to come beat me later.
It's Flash Month!
I know, Flash Month, and I don't have it. Oh, sure, but I'll mention them on my regular, you know, blog, but forget my notes. Screw that.
I think you should think before you, you know, type your note. Come on. Come on.
I never said I didn't think.
Slacking. Slacker.
With the way the entity thing was worded, I think they meant that the entity that was kind of revealed was in 42 and the one that was fully revealed was in 43. It seems kind of like a typo.
No. Jeff John's own words. He said the one that will kind of be revealed is 42 and the one that will be totally revealed was also 42.
Right.
Then why couldn't you say one will be kind of revealed and one will be fully revealed in 43? It's like a redundant statement.
Well, that's like me trying to speak proper English. Come on.
That's I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Those are his exact words.
He writes comics, but he didn't graduate English. Okay.
Why would we do that? Never.
It kind of makes sense. You know, one will be kind of revealed in 42 and the other will be fully revealed.
Right.
Right, it's just sort of kind of the way it's written. It says 43 and 43, and I'm like, you could just say it in one.
Oh, that's true. And anywho, what about you there, Wes?
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to the Flash tie-in. I'm wondering if it's going to be 3 issues long, like the Trinity will have.
The Trinity.
Yeah.
We will not speak of the Trinity.
I'm wondering how this Tales of the Core is going to work out. How much of the writing duo between Tomasi and Johns is going to work together. So, I'm looking forward to the Tales and the Flash Mini. I'm not too thrilled on Justice Society, so one of you had to pick that up for me.
I'll cover that.
I'm getting every one of them, so don't worry.
With what money?
Yeah.
Thanks for
I mooch off my parents.
Get the movie, but you can get the books. What's up with that, man?
I mooch off my parents.
Sounds good.
Oh, I'm in college. Man. I don't have any money.
Right. All right.
Well, all I've got to add is that I'm looking forward to these titles. They all seem like they're pretty sound tie-ins. I have no idea what the Superman, Wonder Woman, or Batman titles will be about, aside from Superman will probably be about the Earth 2 Superman, and Batman will have something to do with the body that he left behind in Final Crisis number 6. Wonder Woman, no idea. JSA, maybe the Earth 2 Superman some more. Beyond that, not too sure. The big surprise to me is the recent reveal about the cover to Blackest Night number 1, which looks like a very familiar skull. There is the chance that it's just symbolic of death, but I think I think we're looking at the face of Necron, who once pulled a very similar scenario to Blackest Night, not once but twice in the past, in the pages of the Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, and also back in the Green Lantern Annual number 7 from the last volume of Green Lantern. Literally, Necron brought back all these dead Green Lanterns with power rings powered by death. People seem to forget these things, but whatever. So it's cool. I'm looking forward to this greatly. This seems awesome. However, it is kind of odd that they're following the Final Crisis template for how to do the tie-ins and such. I mean, I don't know that they're not going to have tie-ins like in the regular issues of the ongoing series in DC, like Wonder Woman, Batman, number whatever, you know, actually have tie-ins in the issues themselves rather than just miniseries and specials. But It's kind of unfortunate if they do go that route and they don't have that, because one of the big failings of Final Crisis, I think, is that they didn't really sell the angle very well as far as it being the end of the world and all that. And if there was a lot of that going on in the regular titles in the DC universe, it would have sold the angle. I would have been more on board with that as far as holy shit, it really is the end of the world. But just kind of having things going on in this corner, this kind of a pocket universe here in the side where everything's moving forward as regular in the regular series, But over here in the corner, we're going to have these miniseries and specials where Blackest Night's happening. I think that kind of hurts the angle. But that's just me.
Well, Ray joined us, so we're going to get him in here for the main chat here. So, okay, so I think we got all great tie-ins here and everything. So, and just like that, we're all back. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. We're still recording. We were just talking about our reactions to the Blackest Night tie-ins.
I missed it.
Yep. Had some good ones, too. Oh, man. So, anyhow, did you read about those earlier?
The Blackest Night tie-ins? Yeah, I saw them.
And what do you think?
Quite surprised.
That there's so many of them, we're all going to be poor.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, like I said, we're all just going to be broke come 2010. We're just going to all file for bankruptcy and be like, come on, tax return.
That blue stuff, the Kyle Rayner blue and the Superman blue, that blew my mind, man.
Yeah, honestly.
It blew my mind.
And it's funny how we joked about it, too.
Yeah, and there it was.
It wasn't even really much of a joke because everybody knew what was going to happen. I mean, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious if you consider it, but it was still like a running joke. It was a running gag.
Yeah.
They were eavesdropping on us.
Now, the people are like, ooh, I think these people want Kylo Renner to become a Blue Lantern. Let's go with that.
Fans are ranting about something? Let's do it.
And obviously, that's how, like, comic book guy.
Yeah, that's how Hal Jordan became the Spectre, remember?
Yeah.
Spectre.
Oh, feel it burn. Anywho.
For anyone who's not clear, this was a April Fool's Day gag that I pulled. I actually had a kind of a fake listing of the part two of the Blackest Night checklist, and I had Kyle Rayner Blue Lantern listed, and Superman Blue listed, and Alan Scott Memorial listed. It apparently fooled a lot of people, and even at the Emerald City Comic Con, Ian Sattler, when he made official the announcement of Wonder Woman and The Flash and the JSA Blackest Night miniseries, he mentioned about this April Fool's gag of mine, and he kind of berated me. He was kind of like, oh, so you're proud of starting an internet rumor, are you? What could I say? I was like, whatever. But in all seriousness, I don't want to see Kyle Rayner as a Blue Lantern. Although I do think that he should be offered a ring, just because he was the torchbearer and he resurrected the Corps and gave the Corps the second chance that it's enjoying right now. I mean, and he inspired a great deal of hope in people. I would argue more so than Hal on any one occasion. Superman Blue, if there was to be a Blue Lantern Superman, and if this wasn't just an April Fool's joke, I could see that. I would like to see Superman as a Blue Lantern. I think there's a lot of potential in that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we do see it.
All right. Well, we'll be moving on now to the wonderful favorite section of all everything, of course, our little Green Lantern talk, followed by, of course, what will become probably hugely debatable Justice League talk. So I will move into the current parts of Emerald Eclipse going on right now in Green Lantern Corps. Well, following Krib's defeat, Kyle Rayner and Lantern Saranic not to express their mutual romantic interest for each other. Yeah, we all know what that meant, painting naked in the shower. Yeah. However, Mongo soon bursts free of the mercy vines that had pierced his flesh and escapes the planets while keeping his rings on his right arm, which, of course, is, you know, floating with them. His left arm has been severed in the process, but through the power of the rings, Mongo is able to control and direct his arm. He attacks a nearby ship to get food for himself, killing the husband and pilot. This inadvertently causes the woman, of course, to become a recruit for the Star Sapphire Corps, which, of course, was talked about in Sins of the Star Sapphire. Anyhow, Mongol uses his left arm to evade Daxam and establishes new homeworld for his Sinestro Corps. Yeah, a left arm defeated the armies of Daxam. That's all I have to say on that one. However, he is challenged by the leadership by Arkillo. Yes, we all miss him, our favorite walrus. Defeating him in a singular battle, he gains control of both factions of the Sinestro Corps and Daxam. He draws on himself the attentions of Risa and Sodom Yat, the Daxamite host for the Ion Ion entity. Saddam and Arisa are subduing another Sinestro Corps member, receiving word from a Sinestro Corps invasion of Daxam from Saddam's mother, who escaped using the ship that her son was going to use to escape Daxam before he was recruited into the Green Lantern Corps. She is shocked when Saddam refuses to return to Daxam. Instead, he lashes out at her, citing to Arisa that his reason for leaving his home planet was because he would only go so far, and say that Daxam had brought the invasion on themselves and they were paying for their sins. Finally, he agrees to return on the condition that his mother, out loud, thank Tessog, who was the alien that was killed, for providing her with the means of escape. After sending his mother to Oa, Saddam and Arisa set out for Daxam. When Arisa asks him why he agreed to return, Saddam states that his oath to the Green Lantern supersedes his hatred for the Daxam and its people. And off they go. What did you think about that, Ray, since you were a little late to the party?
I enjoyed the story. I love the setup of what's going on in Daxam. I also love the fact that a one-armed man beat the living crap out of an entire planet.
A one-armed, dude.
And he didn't even need to do it. It was like it's just his arm. Like the
you know, it wasn't even the one-armed man. It was just the one-armed man's one arm.
It's hilarious.
Not even his one arm. It's the one arm that he doesn't have.
Exactly. Shooting out power
death by
rings.
High five.
I just defeated Daxam. I'm going to the west side.
I just see him like beat the crap out of him going, high five, arm, good job. beats the crap out of this entire, watered-down version of Superman. And it like, totally annihilates these people and goes, now you all bow to me. And that's it.
Wow.
But it's I like the story. I love the setup. I love the fact that, his mom shows up. Tells him, you have to save our planet. He goes, why should I?
Exactly.
It's our planet. No, screw you.
Screw you.
Yeah. And I like it. I enjoyed it. Great setup. The whole fight between Arkillo and Mongo was cool. You know, even though it took like 4 or 5 pages just to get, through it. And the needless bloodshed of so many bodies in the wake of that fight.
Oh, I think I just squished my future right senator of the 5th Ward. Oh, never mind. I gotta poke your eye out. Hold on. Now I'm gonna rip out your tongue.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good fight, even though Arkillo looked like a walrus the entire game. But it's still like Patrick Gleason's work. Still love it, even though Arkillo looked like a walrus. Yeah.
It's Urkillo.
Hey, I mean, the fact that Gleason, could, make it have Sinestro bite off his whole finger in a previous issue, I mean, he can make one arm, beat up an entire army and, have Arkillo look like a walrus is fine in my book.
They're horrible puns.
Man, the Sinestro Corps army is just such a bunch of sadists, masochists.
They are.
Huh?
I said they are.
Yeah.
Must have this much psychosis to join.
Yeah, forget the Orange Lanterns or the Red Lanterns. Just be psychotic and set.
And that's all. That's the only skill set you need to have on your resume.
Forget instilling fear. Are you nuts? Good, here you are.
You instill fear when you're crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Dude, I'm afraid of crazy people. What are you talking about?
We knew that.
I'm afraid of myself.
I'm surprised there aren't more homeless people in there.
Oh, burn.
Ouch.
Those crazy ones that go in the stream and change as they throw their cup at you.
I got the Slurpee and you did this. Take that. Anywho, what else did you think about the issue?
What else? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The greatest part. Saturday Night 2 and Hal Rayner are now an item.
Oh, yes.
So, they finally share a bathroom together. His and her rings and bars of soap.
You're a Kyle Reiner's girlfriend when you take a shower and wash paint off you.
Exactly.
Being or a if they guy, stuck in the refrigerator, It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Or you die. Die anyway, really.
Or you die.
You just die.
And end up upside down in a refrigerator.
Anybody? Yeah. Most of the women who died in the DCU were Kyle Reiner's girlfriends.
Boy, he's going to have a lot of Black Lanterns just coming after him in a couple of months. Jade, Alex, his mother, it's just going to be bad.
That's a bad thing to be Kyle Rayner.
It really sucks to be Kyle Rayner.
We've only seen previous girlfriends die.
You know, it's like the last power ring in the universe. You get to be the last Green Lantern ever. Your 3 out of your 4 girlfriends have died. And your mom.
That's assuming Moore didn't die beforehand.
We don't know about his high school and college days very much, outside the fact that according to Jade, back when he went to his high school reunion, well, Kyle, you seem to enjoy women with huge lungs. Judd Whitnick, anyhow. what would be your grade on this?
My grade on it, seeing that it's still not completed, I give it an incomplete B.
Incomplete B, I love it. Oh, man, what about you there, Mew?
Well, I actually like the arc, but my main problem with it came down to just the stuff like, we don't really see any repercussions for them being together. I mean, you figure the second they kiss, the rings just start screaming, breaking the law, and then just a bunch of lanterns swarm and start beating them.
Oh, man.
Rings are probably turning the other, they're probably looking the other way. Like, wait, you're kidding me, making out? Oh, missed
well,
that.
Well, remember, a Green Lantern Honor Guard member gets three strikes.
That's your first warning.
I think he went through his warning in just this afternoon.
No, I doubt it. No, just because the Guardians see their half of the recruits just left, they can't lose Kyle Rayner.
And not to mention they're a little busy in the Vegas system right now.
Scar's probably also putting down some asides for them trying to throw people apart.
Right.
Just generic evil laughter in the corner.
Oh, she doesn't laugh. She just cries black blood. That's what she does.
Puke and cheers black.
Fellow Guardian Scar, are you okay? You seem to be vomiting black slime. I'm fine.
I was just meditating. I was vacating the acid of my body. It's good. See? Pay no attention to that strange staircase in the corner of our citadel. That's like
there have been down there. Nothing. the old robots with Guy Gardner's jackets that we left in the closet.
Oh yes, I remember those. They never sell those damn Earthmen. I lost 50 on those.
I have a question.
What was that going?
When you're reading, do you like put voices to everybody?
Sometimes.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah. Are the Guardians all British?
Well, the Guardians are British. The Controllers are I consider them Asian, and then I consider the Zamorons as all those ex-girlfriends who just pissed you off.
But yeah, the Zamorons are British too, obviously, because you know.
They're the ex-girlfriends that are British.
I had 2 of them and an Australian girl. You should know better than anybody, Kuan. Don't piss off those Aussies.
To me, Scar is one of those women that just smoked for 80 years.
she's the Phyllis Diller, but she's still not funny, and she just glares at you. What? What are you talking about? I'm a great actress. I still am. I know I'm 95. My arm won't stop twitching, but I had a stroke. I'm good.
She's still alive.
She is. She's on Family Guy now and again.
Really?
Yeah.
She's Peter Griffin's mother.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And Call Meany was, it was Francis Griffin. Ah, Chief O'Brien, how we miss you.
Well, getting back to the issue at hand.
Yes, as we are saying.
Double pun
ahead.
There.
Yeah, go ahead, Colt.
The issue. What I found most interesting was Soda Miant's portrayal, which I just found finally he's actually showing some real emotion instead of just being that generic cool guy with all the power. It's just like, I'm so great, I kill things. Yeah.
Well, he has a whale inside him. That would keep you quiet, too.
I mean, just, he finally gets to something that's a little bit emotionally deep since his first appearance, and it's like, why couldn't we have gotten something like this sooner? Does it take his mother having mentally destroyed him as a child to get this?
Did you read Tales of Sinestro, was it Tales of Sinestro or Tales of Green Lantern Corps?
Oh, Ion, yes.
Oh, yeah,
Ion.
That was close, but there wasn't really an extreme amount. Just kind of them kind of male bonding.
They had it. They had it in there.
That's true. I'm just saying overall, compared to how long he's been showing up.
Yeah.
Well, no, that I agree with. I mean, I was like, when they did the story, I was like, oh, man, I finally understand this character. And then it was like, nothing. Sodom, by the way, if this fails, just blow up the planet. Nothing. Oh, I got killed in a dream thanks to Black Mercy plants of all 8 core rings. Nothing. Oh, finally, my mother's here. I'm going to be good now.
He has personality voids. But there's just nothing there.
Oh, like Chuck Austin.
So it's pretty much like monotone, and an emotion!
It could be worse. It could be Winnick riding him.
Oh.
Oh.
Enter Nero joke here. But besides that, back at the issue.
Right. I'm just waiting for this final fight because for all the power that Sodomyat has, he's done next to nothing significant with it. He always loses a fight or gets knocked out. He's like the Daphne of the group.
Oh.
He just falls to the trap and everyone comes to save him.
Why Fred's in the corner going, That's just... it. Scar is Fred and Ion is Daphne. That's it.
It all makes sense. But I'm just wondering, can he beat Mongol by now? Does he have the power? That's just something that keeps coming to me.
I mean, really, come on. He's got a giant space whale inside of him.
Yeah, I mean, he can't just rip off his other arm. I mean, that's Superboy Prime's MO.
Infinite willpower is good, but is he going to be able to use it, or is he just going to get sucker punched in the back of the head by that floating arm while Mongol starts beating him?
That would be cool.
It just flying around hitting him in the back of the head while he's trying to evade.
I vote for the sucker punch.
The floating arm's pretty good if you for some reason get left hanging. You know, like, oh, come on, nobody? All right, floating arm, come on. Okay, yeah, there we go.
Risk is saying, why can't I do that? I gotta see both my arms.
I'm just waiting for Risk to get one of his legs ripped off.
Don't you realize that his arms are gonna come back as Black Lanterns and just bitch slap him all the time?
It's the boom, we're just gonna be hopping. Just...
He needs to get a red ring on his toe. Flying around.
Hey, it worked for, you know, Dexstar on his tail.
True, true.
Alright. But what would be your current grade on this, on the incomplete story?
I'm liking it. The fact that there's a lot of more personality growth within Sodom, or Sodomy, as some people might call him.
Just don't call him Sodium.
So damn yet. He's so damn yet.
So damn. And with the development finally between Kyle and another woman that hasn't yet died within the first 5 minutes of conversation, I'll be a little bit more friendly and give it a B+.
Ooh, nice. What about you, Kuhan?
F. No, I'm joking. I'm trying to eat here. I only read the first issue of this. I think I... What was this, the second one? What number was the second one?
Oh,
34.
Thank you.
It is.
He's got the books.
I have no life to know that.
I haven't read the 34 yet. So, you know, 33 was definitely pretty good. You know, I'm gonna read 34 as soon as I get the chance. And since right now all I've got is the beginning of a story, I can't really rate it. But from what you guys have said, it sounds like Sodomyat's finally, you know, developing something that most people have. A personality.
Exactly.
He's not just, you know, the dude there. Oh, hey, I have a giant space whale inside me. You guys want to hang out?
I'll bring the beer.
I'm busy.
Yeah, that's why Reese is all hanging by him. She's a joy to his Dawson.
He's like the new kid at school where he sits at his own table and nobody really likes him because nobody knows him. And he's sitting in school and, like, you know, he just sits there and does nothing and gets beat up by everyone.
Doesn't anyone like me? Am I not bland enough?
Totally cool.
He should belong to the core of apathy. I'm sorry. The Mauve Lantern Corps.
The Mauve Lantern Corps.
The Neutral Corps.
All right.
I don't feel strongly one way or another about this.
All right. Sounds good. Well, what about you? I'm going to go to refill my water.
I thought they were great so far. But not overly great, you know. Sodom doesn't do anything for me. So even with this character booster, it's still pretty bland for me. And other than that, it was decent at best. The art is okay. I especially like the covers. But other than that, the story just doesn't do anything for me. Definitely big on the Kyle and Natu finally thing, but that's it. Nothing else to say about it. It's just a basic story.
Anywho. Sorry, I'm back. Yeah, what's this talk? And I gotta go refill my water.
I don't care, whatever.
Cold-blooded.
The guys will fill in.
It's alright.
I'm just kidding. That's, you know, I love you.
It's like your Ben and Jerry's or your ironing, you know? Fill some water.
Or your Britney Spears, you know?
No, Britney Spears, yes, totally. Britney, really?
Hey, she has a star on the Walk of Fame.
That's not the only one.
And she has a shaved head.
A lot of people have a star on the Walk of Fame that don't deserve one.
Yeah, that's why Rob Reiner keeps putting his on Carl Reiner's star.
Okay.
Yeah, what is them like? Someone like paints over the star, like writes their own name in.
Yeah, they have the same last name. They just put their first name.
But I want to ask, what? You like the covers, right?
Yeah.
You're a big fan of the covers, right?
Yep.
Tell me your interview. How much do you like number 33?
It's good. You don't like it?
I just found that one weird. Out of all the covers that came out, that one was what? Mongo and Arkillo looking at Aresia and Sodom Yat? And a blatant butt shot of Sodom Yat?
Service for women.
You can see her. You can totally see her ass.
True.
You can. It's the classic butt shot.
Leaves nothing to the imagination.
Mongo has both arms.
Yeah,
that's an Earth thing. And yet he's still missing his eye.
Yeah, he's still missing the eye, but he's got both arms.
He can reattach it, I think.
Yeah, I think he reattached it during the fight.
Yeah, I liked that. He'd say, okay, we'll have our rings go back. 1 minute, let me put my arm back in spot. Okay.
Put my arm back. Hold on. There we go.
Yeah, it's just like Sakura from, Sakaro from Farscape, because, you know, she get her arm pulled off. She's like, hold on, I'm good. Put this right back on, she'd be fine.
Mr. Skullhead, Animaniacs. Let's have a dog rip off some Mongol's arm.
Cover to 34 is a little weird, too.
Yeah, that is.
But it looks like Arkillo sticking his finger that he's missing into Mongo's eye that he's missing.
He's trying to bowl with his head.
He's going for a two-third on the second lane.
He's got the fingers in totally perfectly.
Exactly.
He's trying to screw with him. He's just trying to screw with him. It's like, ha-ha, in your socket.
That's the thing, though. Arkillo doesn't have that finger. So he's got the stump. Pointing, like, right in the socket, so it looks like he's putting his finger in.
That's the funny thing, because when they show him during the fight, yeah, Arkillo is missing that finger, yet there on the cover, he's got that finger.
No, it doesn't even show that finger. Like, he's definitely missing the finger. You just can't tell.
He stuck the nub in his eye.
Yeah, he's got a nub stuck in his eye.
Oh, my nub.
Fear me.
My nub.
Wow. Aren't you glad you joined us here, Colton?
Oh, yeah, it's just so socially awkward.
Just like the rest of us.
You've listened to us, dude, come on. You should have expected this when you were coming in.
Oh, I did, it's just a little bit more deep once you get in.
Because that's us, we're deep, we're like the guiding light.
Or
something else.
I'm going to leave that long pause in the edit.
Was that a soap opera reference?
That was a soap opera reference. And yet a Green Lantern reference. You know, Guiding Light, get it?
That's the one that's ending, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't ask me how I do that. I hate soap operas.
But No. I found out from, like, Jimmy Fallon, I think.
Oh, wow.
But you know, soap operas never die. They just go into a coma and get replaced by their twin soap opera.
And then they bring back people from the dead, and then Mo Sizlak is a doctor.
Their evil fifth cousin from the alternate universe.
They get replaced by the twin soap opera until they find out that the soap opera was never in a coma in the first place. They just got facial reconstructive surgery, and they're totally different now.
Exactly.
And suffering from amnesia.
Yeah, exactly.
Great shows will end in...
And then they steal plot lines from Life on Mars and, like, well, it's 1974. There's no area code yet for this number, but why are we here? 2 weeks later, let us never talk of that, of how we traveled back in time for no reason.
Great shows will last for 2 years. soap operas will last for 50, and then one will still wonder why they're doing the same exact storyline 50 times over with new actors.
I don't know. We should go talk to Lex Moonves on CBS.
It's all been so long.
I don't know. We're getting too much on that. I'm just going to say I'm enjoying the story. I love it when a one-armed man can use his other arm to defeat an alien army and still reattach it and then take out our favorite walrus. But I'm really looking in. My biggest, of course, that Saddam Yat got a personality finally. I was like, yay, he speaks, yay.
You found a personality.
Tomasi, I'm buying you a beer now.
I'm on the Wikipedia page for Guiding Light, okay? Hold on.
I'll give my grade a B.
The title card is Guiding Light with the GL, like Guiding Light. GL is highlighted in yellow.
Oh, jeez.
Yellow?
In yellow.
Blasphemy.
Don't you know it was Carol Ferris' favorite show, but she says, why didn't they make it violet if they would have made it violet? Oh, jeez. Anyhow, let me look.
Oh, my God.
I got to look at that. I really do.
That is
just wrong. In the 1930s, Guiding Light was based on personal experience. Oh, God. Okay, I'm getting off that. Wow.
It started in radio in 1937, then became on TV in 1952.
Oh, so it wasn't just the Green Hornet. Anyhow. Wow. Yeah, sorry, everybody. We're going there again, and this time we're soap operas are not safe.
Nothing is safe on the Spotlight podcast.
Not a thing. Right. Not even my nice, delicious fish dinner I'm eating right here by drinking water. Anyhow. Okay, I'm going to say I'm looking forward to seeing how the storyline shapes up, even though a couple covers, but, I'm just waiting for, Ian not only to get a personality, but actually use it. The inner whale in him, whale on Mongol.
I'm waiting for the whale to come out and, like, just punch someone in the face.
Actually,
I'm waiting for Mongol to just grab his own arm and use it as a club to start beating someone with it.
Feel this!
He's beating a whale with a separate arm.
Which would be, like, the best panel ever created by any artist.
No. No, he doesn't have to beat the whale with a severed arm. The whale comes out, he just makes what is it? You know, the plastic thing that holds a six pack. He just makes one of those, don't get fucked.
The only thing he has to worry about is a yellow six pack.
I can't move. Thing...
Where's Captain Planet when I need him?
He will be summoned by the end of Blackest Night.
Oh, yes. Captain Planet and
the power is yours.
I'm afraid they're going to listen to us and do that. I mean, we got Kyle Rayner, Blue Lantern. Why not just get Captain Planet at the end of Blackest Night?
The Captain Planet is the white twist.
Fear, hate, everything, willpower. By your powers to the mine, powers I am Captain Planet.
Got it.
If Captain Planet comes, Captain Pollution is not too far behind.
That's all the Black Lanterns are doing.
He had green
super
mullet.
Radiation.
Green mullet.
Deforestation.
That green mullet was awesome.
Hey.
Green mullet was pretty awesome. It's true.
Oh, God. What are we doing?
They just started playing Captain Planet on Boomerang. I got like the first episode. It was pretty cool.
All right. I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to say... I think you guys are incredibly unfair to Saddam Yat. I think he has shown a great deal of development over the course of the issues since the beginning of Tomasi's run, and even a bit before that with Gibbons. I think that, as we know, Green Lantern Corps is an ensemble. It's an ensemble book. I mean, it's hard to focus on any one character more than the other in any kind of a fair fashion. And I think, like I've been seeing with Kyle, and I've been very impressed with, they've been able to get a little bit of mileage out of Saddam Yat, but... He can't be in every single story, and I think having him in every single story would be kind of detrimental to the story, just given his power level. I mean, he's basically a nuke, a tactical nuke that the Green Lantern Corps has at its disposal. And if they have him in every single story, it's kind of like, it's too much. I mean, no matter what threat you throw at the guys, it's going to be like, oh, well, Saddam Yat could just go ballistic and blow the fuck out of him. But, you know, what we've seen of him, and granted, I do think that maybe he's gotten... whipped around too much. I don't think we've really seen his potential realized yet. I think things are going that way, but we haven't quite come there yet. But I do think we've seen that. Seen some development for him over the course of the last few issues. I think we've seen him rise from a rookie to kind of someone that's a little bit more comfortable in their own skin towards the end of the Sinestro Corps War when he finally got the benefit of the Yellow Sun and got, you know, really Supermaned out. I thought that was cool. I thought we saw some development there. In Tomasi's first issue where we see him as a boy and the struggles he had on Daxam, I thought that was a good start. It gave us a good feel for the character. I know I'm not alone here. I mean, everyone wants to see Sodomya just go balls out. I mean, we know he's got the potential. He's got the power of Ion, plus he's basically a Superman. He's every bit as powerful as Superman, as long as he's got some yellow sunlight charged up in his skin. So it's just a question of when are we going to see him go balls out. I think it's coming. I think we will see it. I think his personality is fine. I think he's developed over the course of the past few issues. And I think a lot of what people's problem with him is, and I'm going out on a limb here, I think you know how back when we had our Hal fans and our Kyle fans, and the Kyle fans are mad at Hal because they replaced their boy, and Hal fans were mad at Kyle because Kyle replaced their boy. It's kind of the same thing now, because Sodomya has now taken not only Kyle's power, but his name and kind of shticked as Ion. And I think people are kind of, the Kyle fans anyway, are a little bit pissed about that, and they kind of resent him a little bit unfairly. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I do like where that's going with Sodomya, and I hope we do see him go balls out sometime soon. Now, as for the issues themselves, obviously the big highlight for me was Kyle Rayner and Sora Nicknatu. I thought that was awesome. I thought I saw it coming, kind of, but I wasn't sure how it would play out in the pages, and I was very pleased with how Tomasi was able to really realize that and really devote the time out of an ensemble book like Green Lantern Corps, and that's no small feat, and really make that work. I thought that was very impressive. And I liked the poignancy of their first encounter and even the next issue where the painting business in the shower. That was cool. I like where that's going. I like their chemistry. And it came a little bit fast, but after it happened, it's like, oh, this feels natural. This feels right. And I really look forward to where this is going. I think it's getting kind of silly with everyone like, oh, she's going to die like all of his other girlfriends. It's getting old, folks. It's getting old. And I hope that there is long-term plans for these two. I hope it's not just a setup to something like Kyle dying or, I don't know, some kind of drama, or maybe she's going to leave for the Indigo tribe, or she's going to leave for the Blue Lanterns. I don't know. I hope it's not just a setup, and I hope it's something that they're going to put some stock in for a while. But, I mean, I don't even know if we're at the halfway point in the story arc yet, so I can't comment too much as far as a retrospective on it, but so far it's good. I mean, it's going to kind of dovetail into Blackest Night, and looks like we're going to see a mass breakout in the science cells. I mean, and pretty soon we're going to have Sinestro arriving on Korugar looking for his daughter. I mean, there's big shit coming. I mean, no two ways about it. So we'll see what's coming, and we'll look back and give it our final grade. So far, I mean, I'd give it an A, no question. And as far as the rings not kind of alerting the Guardians that Kyle and Sora Nicknatu are breaking the third law, I don't know. I mean, there was the thing about the rings recording everything the Lanterns are doing. But I don't know. I mean, could 8 or 9 Guardians really be monitoring all the Green Lanterns, all 7,200 plus, at the same time, simultaneously? I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of shit on their mind right now, and I don't know. I mean, think about it. I mean, who is Kyle to the Guardians? Think about it. He's Dada. He's the guy that brought them back and raised them from babies. And to them, he is Dada. He is. And so, I don't know, maybe one of the Guardians is looking on the monitor and he sees Kyle fooling around with Sorenik, and they notice that, and they're like, oh, well, Papa's got to get some love. And they look the other way. That's just me. I don't know.
All right. So anyhow, well, we'll just leave Green Lantern Corps until we complete it, because we'll be talking about the Orange Lanterns next time. So let's move on to the biggest debate, Justice League of America. Can I get a groan, someone?
Groan.
One would have been fine, but okay. Groan in stereo.
Groan.
Well, I'll give a quick, pretty much a synopsis of what's happened with Justice League here. Pretty much, Brad Meltzer came in with Ed Bynes on Justice League Zero, and a select number of heroes, including Captain Marvel, Power Girl, and Cyborg, eventually wind up with Green Lantern, Black Canary, Red Arrow, Arsenal, Red Tornado, Vixen, Black Lightning.
Formerly Arsenal, formerly Speedy, formerly...
Drug addict.
Formerly alive.
And basically, and Hawkgirl after... Yeah, pretty much after a large fight against Solomon Grundy and Amazo, pretty much get together and they make a new Hall of Justice with a little bit of the Justice League satellite. So basically they stole two cartoon premises and basically, put them together and say, here you go, the new Justice League of America. And Black Canary will be chairperson. That's
meanwhile,
awesome.
At the Hall of Justice.
And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, John Stewart, can come on and he can alternate with Hal, even though I like Hal better, said Brad Meltzer. Oh, but Dwayne McDuffie and Dandy Dido said, oh, no, we can have them both because we have the Justice League Unlimited cartoon. And,
funny.
Yeah, so basically we get a bunch of wonderful stories here of them dealing with, I don't even remember anymore, the Lightning Saga with Justice Society, which I think was one of the best crossovers they ever did. So pretty much then after... Breathe.
Breathe.
Pretty damn confusing, like 15 different teams. There's like 35 people. There was a Legion. Like, as if the JSA and the JLA wasn't enough, you had to throw in the Legion, too. Come on.
Right.
And that's why I bought
more.
Exactly. Because, that was all the best. And then, The Flash came back, Wally West with the kids and everything, and the Incredibles were born. Well, pretty much Brad Meltzer always intended to leave by issue 12. And then, Dwayne McDuffie, took over at issue 13. He'd seen his work on, Fantastic Four, Ben 10.
Didn't he actually show up in the wedding special first?
Who showed? Oh, yeah, actually. Well, yeah, you're right. The wedding special came out just before 13. But I'm talking as ongoing writer, he was with 13.
Oh, right.
Continue. And then by the end of 15, the current Firestorm was brought into the team, and then basically the book just became, oh, we got a cross going on with Salvation Run. Okay, here you go. Here's the Suicide Squad. Okay, now my powers are so screwed up from Brad Meltzer's run, a.k.a., Vixen. Well, that could have been wrapped up in two issues, but I'm going to pull it off to the end of the issue, and I'm going to bring in the Icon characters. All right, Milestone. All right, we got the Shadow Cabinet. We got our Anasazi in. Everybody, hey, remember them? They were from the Static Shock cartoon. I rule. I remember that.
That's to the point where by the end there was like 30 people on the Justice League.
Yes, there
by
were.
By the power of editorial mandate.
Exactly. With the best storyline being with him and Ethan Van Sciver with Wally and Wonder Woman fighting the Queen Bee, which is the most beautiful and fun story there was. And then we were in Final Crisis, and then John was dead, and then Red Tornado was destroyed again, and he was possessed by Amazo again, and then we got the Zatanna, and then... the altered Animal Man storylines. But it's so cool because, after all, it's the editorial mandate.
As if the 50 people on the JSA weren't enough, they had to put, 30 on the JLA. And then, of course, the Legion.
Right, and then, reassemble the Justice League Detroit. And
then, all that's left.
Right, and then pretty much by the end of the current issue, which is the aftermath of the Final Crisis, Hal basically... technically bitch slaps his Black Canary. She loses about 40 years of character development, and we have the Justice League Detroit left over with the current Dr. Light, because they killed the other Dr. Light in Revelations.
Although I did sort of like the Vixen storyline. That wasn't actually that bad. I love that Batman thing, the whole Paladin going on.
Oh, that was cool. Paladin, actually, I thought was cool.
He deserves his own book. That was pretty cool.
Right.
He needs to show up in like a Batman comic sometime, like, oh, I'm in an alternate dimension. Who is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're Bruce Wayne too.
Hey, Jonah Hex, how you doing? I'm the guy. I'm Batman. I mean, I'm Paladin.
I'm with Batman's time travels. I'm just waiting for Bat Jesus to show up.
Well, it's Good Friday. Hey,
I can't wait for that Paladin figure. That would be awesome.
That will be. So, and despite all this, we actually have what was originally supposed to be a new ongoing series, which was supposed to be all set up here in issue 31 of Justice League, which is James Robinson and Mauro Cascioli will be taking over a mini-series, Justice League, where pretty much Hal Jordan and Oliver Queen form their own Justice League with Ray Palmer, Supergirl, Batwoman, Freddie Freeman, Mikel Thomas, Starman, and Kong Gorilla. And they promise a Gorilla Grodd and Kong Gorilla fight in the storyline as this Justice League fights the new Legion of Doom.
Kong Gorilla.
I got it, finally. We got to have Power Boots reprise his role as Gorilla Grodd here for the Legion of Doom, and then Kong Gorilla needs to be voiced by Jensen Ackles from Supernatural. Oh, you God. Old school, I'm new school.
the...
I bet you didn't see that one coming there, Kuhan.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's why I said
it. Hilarious.
Yes, once again, we go there. Supernatural isn't safe either.
Nothing is safe.
And since I'm picking on you there, Kuhan, what do you think of everything that's come before in the upcoming miniseries?
This is Cry for Justice, right? So
yeah,
you know, I like the team. The team sounds pretty good. I mean, Hal Jordan obviously just got Supergirl and Batwoman to stare at their asses. And then Green Arrow because they're buddies. Freddie Freeman, they needed some power. Kong Gorilla because he was probably just bored.
And then we have the other Starman nobody remembers.
Ray Palmer's smart. Yeah, and then, you know, the Starman. I'm on the page. I didn't even know who this was. Like, I look, I'm like, Mikal, who the hell? I had to go on the click. I'm like, what the?
His friends call him Mick.
What is this? Like, I have no clue who this guy is. Like, I think, I see. So the writer wrote him 10 years ago. No, like 15 years ago.
Yeah,
15. You know, I'm going to bring him back.
Random old character.
Yeah, because, you know, the other Starman's going to be in Adventure Comics, which is, you know, 3 months delayed.
Human flame.
Exactly.
DC, where you always find good delays.
So, but, yeah, this, the JLA season series that's been going on is pretty good. I've been reading it on and off. And, I mean, it makes sense that they'd have a new team, because I guess this was starting to get pretty boring. They couldn't get new stories, and finally have a Justice League without the Trinity. Again, because they haven't had one of those since
Justice League International. Well, they had Batman. Never mind.
They had Batman, but other than that,
right?
And yeah, so then they haven't. But besides JLI, since Detroit, in like the '80s, the early '80s. So yeah, they finally have a JLA without the Trinity, and it looks pretty cool because. Yeah, so I can't wait for this book, and I'm probably not going to read it, though, because...
James, we love you, but screw you, I'm not reading you.
I'm probably going to forget. It's not that I don't want to. I'm probably going to be like, oh, that started?
Yeah, finally, he's going to say General Zod on you. All hail Zod! Where's Kuhan? St. Louis, here I come. Anywho. What about you, Wes?
First point, I hate the Justice League right now.
Tell us how you really feel.
It's terrible. I regret picking up every issue.
eBay.
Why did you continue?
That ring.
I can't put it down.
This book sucks. Oh, wait, hold on.
It's like Secret Life of the American Teenager.
West has become a Red Lantern over this book.
Why do you keep buying it, then?
It's like, a creature of habit. I can't help it.
Like, I hear that all the time. Like, Wes,
you're turning into my mother.
it's like Connor on iFanboy, or Rainer here. he kept reading Flash, and he kept saying, this sucks, but I'm going to read the next one. This sucks, but I'm going to read the next one. Come on! Drop the freaking book!
Welcome to the Fanboy Live.
I enjoyed that book.
I'm 31 issues in, and I hate it. I got three good issues out of 31.
Oh.
Three.
Three?
And man. Three. And I'm probably, two. Two, because 31 wasn't all that great. And
he's hating it every second.
It's just that simple.
But it's the Justice League. You can't stop reading DC's best, supposedly best.
He put supposedly.
Quote, unquote.
You haven't stopped reading DC's best book. You're still reading Green Lantern, right?
See, that's the thing. Like, Green Lantern is something we want to read because we're not expecting it to be the best. But
I am.
Look at the covers. It's the Justice League.
That's how they get you.
It's right there. It's right there.
That's why I'm waiting for the mini to come out. That's going to be the Justice League I read.
Yeah, there you go.
See, I was initially excited for Cry for Justice before it was a mini. See,
yeah,
now,
exactly.
Now I'm gonna get 4 or 5 issues of great art and possibly a good story, and then what? And then I'm done, and I'm back to issue 31.
And forget 32 and I. He's just back to 31. I gotta get caught up now.
And then I'm back.
Where's the quarter bin?
Book I hate.
Oh man.
Hopefully, if you support it, they should. Hopefully, if you support it, they should at least bring it into an ongoing after a while.
We can all wish.
But why would they make it a mini in the first place? If he can't handle an ongoing, then he's not gonna handle an ongoing after the mini either.
I mean, they probably just picked a really bad artist for ongoing speed. Someone who wants to paint their own art.
Well, that was
so now I have
the last 6 years.
After the mini, if we get an ongoing, then I have to worry about either the same artist going through delays or a lesser artist. It doesn't seem fair to me.
Maybe now,
who?
We need to bring back Jack Kirby from the dead.
Back.
Give him a black range.
Come on.
Where's that Stan Lee?
Just get Mark Bagley to write it. Just draw it. He can draw. He could draw every book in DC. Nobody would notice.
Hey, dude, Marvel for 10 years.
He draws so quickly. He can do everything, dude. We should have Mark Bagley draw everything and Jeff Johns write everything. Nothing would ever be late.
No plot holes.
No plot.
They'll hear you.
Right.
So you're just gonna wait and see if there is ongoing after Cry for Justice.
No, I'm gonna read Cry for Justice. I'm just gonna be really pissed knowing that in 4 issues I'm gonna have nothing again.
Right.
What's it?
I'm still excited. Is it? It's 5 or 6.
It's 6.
6. Well, I get 6 issues of good, and then I'm back at. Justin, does this start in June?
July.
See? Now I have to wait even longer.
Like, aww.
DC is killing me.
And you're so sad.
Oh my god, he's crying. He's crying. He's crying for justice.
Oh, good lord. Ray, why Wes gets himself a handkerchief. What do you think?
This Cry for Justice, I'm eagerly awaiting for. Honestly, the rest of the Justice League stories that were before it, I was in and out. I honestly didn't pick up every single issue. I read possibly like in whole like a whole run through, probably like the first 15, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When was the what issue was the end of Injustice Society?
That was, let's see, include the wedding special. It was 15.
Yeah, I read like all of that in one shot. I enjoyed it. It was kooky, I would say.
I mean, literally,
it was kooky. It was like okay, so you got the new Justice League. It's led by Black Canary. The Trinity has nothing to do with it, with like being the leaders. Yet they have their secret meetings and put the team together. At the whole, Firestorm joins. It's like it's sort of like watching an episode of Justice League and then not knowing what the hell is going to come after it.
That's why they got rid of Toonami.
Yeah.
They kill what we love.
So I enjoyed it, and then I probably read a few issues here and there from like the rest of it. I read the whole Ethan Von Skyber issue with the Flash getting back on the team. I read a few issues here and there, I guess. I can't remember all of them, but it was cool, but it just couldn't keep my interest half the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So I honestly can't. You know, I want to see this new Justice League. I want to see the non-Trinity. I want to see Green Lantern and Green Arrow going, like, you know what? Let's make a team. And then
they high-five each other with Mongo on their arm.
Their asses, like across town or something, going, like, you know what's a good idea? If we made a Justice League right now, and then Green Arrow's going, like, you know what we should have? A giant monkey.
Because if the Legion of Doom can have a giant monkey, so can we.
Most people just go, hey, let's start a... Most people go, hey, let's start a band. Hey, let's start a park. They're like, hey, let's start a Justice League.
Hey, who's a knockoff of a superhero? Okay, Kara, okay, Cassandra, okay, Freddy, and McCall. Nobody remembers you, we're good.
Not Cassandra, it's what's her name? Cat Kane.
Yeah, I always wanted to say Kate. Cassandra Kane.
It's Kate Kane.
Yeah. Kate. Too many Cassies. There's too many Cassies in the DC universe.
Cassandra's Batgirl.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. For now.
I'm not going there tonight. I am not going there tonight.
Oh.
So, that's
a whole other podcast.
Yeah, and what else do you think there, Ray, to wrap it up?
Yeah, to wrap it up, I'm in agreement with Kumahan as to who the hell is the Starman? I honestly have a picture as my wallpaper right now for the new Justice League, and I'm staring at this blue guy right now with his red hair, and his outstretched hand, and like jacket. I'm like, are you supposed to be what's this guy's name again? Jack T. Chance.
Oh.
Wow. It looks like Jack T. Chance.
It does. Well, keep in mind, when James Robinson wrote the character, you know, Jack T. Chance was apparently dead, so...
Wasn't he of the same race as the one Sinestro woman who kept the book?
Yes. Larissa Drek, yeah.
Yeah, Drek.
The same race.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Really? Huh.
I think it was just an alternate planet in that area. Like, they're all named the same thing, but like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sound off.
Oh, geez.
Planet One.
All right, so Ray just wants to know who the hell Starman is.
Yeah, I want to know who the hell Starman is, and I want to see how drunk Green Lantern and Green Arrow get before they decide to make this team.
Wow. Okay. And how about you, Mew?
Well, a team founded in a bar sounds pleasant enough, but...
It's at Warriors Bar. Guy's like, I can do it, no guy. We got a Green Lantern. Oh, you bastards.
You can alternate with me. You do it with John.
I was like, dude, let's go to Oa, man. totally mad.
When a Starman walks in, nobody knows. Hey, I know a giant monkey. Hey, we're good. We got half a team already.
It's just the world's longest-run practical joke.
He probably just showed up. He's like, oh, I heard there was a Justice League meeting. Who are you? I'm in.
You don't have schizophrenia? Wait. You don't have a giant cane that's apparently from another planet, but it looks like a walking cane?
They're like, I
don't like waffles?
Like, I thought Starman was a schizo. Who the hell are you?
Yes, I'm blowing water out of my nose as we speak. What else there, Colt?
Well, I was going on about, I think the team's really an interesting choice, because I like Hal and Ollie working together, but then you get to these other people, it's like, most of them you're like, okay? I mean, you got a golden monkey? I mean, sure, that's a great mascot, but just an odd choice. And I mean, Freddy's okay, it's just, couldn't have gotten Captain Marvel himself?
No, Captain Marvel's, he's the wizard now.
No, Shazam.
No, he isn't. Not now. Right now,
we gotta catch up on Justice Society.
No, Freddy is Captain Marvel now.
No, Freddy's Shazam now.
Well, Shazam. He's Shazam, but Shazam is Captain Marvel, technically.
Yeah.
But the wizard and I will know it's better. So
apparently gonna have Freddy Freeman with a new name. Just keep changing his name. Nobody will care. It's Captain Marvel Jr. Oh, now it's Shazam. Oh, now it's something else.
Soon it'll just be F.
CM3, yes. CM3.
The Marvel formerly known as Junior.
what else do you think there?
You know, Supergirl and Batwoman make perfect sense because, you know, Hal Jordan is that kind of guy. Ray Palmer makes sense because he's smart.
And Green Arrow needs to get off the rebound. You know,
right.
Really, the only two that don't make sense are Starman and Connor.
I got it. This entire team is Hal's way of getting Green Arrow back into the game.
That's
I don't
not
think
a
it would work out
idea.
Too well against Batwoman.
I want your Starman to throw off everybody off the track.
Batwoman's gay, too.
Who are you? I'm Starman. Okay. Which number
you know, really
are you?
It really doesn't work out too well. It really doesn't work out too well when you factor in that Batwoman's a lesbian.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
It's a relationship with the question.
Ollie's good, but it's not that good.
They're in an on and off relationship. It's complicated.
Yeah.
Right. That brings me to a question. Is Batwoman just going to be hitting on Supergirl during the whole time?
I wouldn't put it past her. It'll bring new meaning to the world. Oh. World's finest.
Dude, look, everybody's going to be hitting on Supergirl. There's Ray Palmer, Hal Jordan, Harley Quinn.
Remember, Hal Jordan was busy.
McCall and Congo is going to go into
yeah,
it.
Remember,
Starman.
He's a giant monkey.
Remember, Hal has hang-ups about Supergirl. He kept saying 17, 17.
Oh, you said it.
She's probably 18 by now. It's cool.
Brave yeah. and the Bull.
It's one year later.
They'll go to Canada.
Fair game. I got dibs.
All right. What else do you think there, Mew?
they'll probably just go up there. That's cool.
What was the team? When they say they have a proactive Justice League, I just wonder if they're just going to, like, see some guy just start walk, see a supervillain start walking towards the bank and just, like, all, just attack his front.
I want to jump out of a van.
Well, you know, it's better than the Justice League, yet. Like, Starbreaker just showed up and he's sucking my neck. Okay, we won't do anything.
I want to see them back at base in, like, some sort of, like, a... Like, some sort of, like, abandoned factory, and, like, and Hal Jordan just sitting there arguing with Green Arrow about politics.
Where's Hawkman? Oh, wait.
Even though I've never shown it before, I'm a hard conservative.
Wow.
All for the sake of politicalness.
Yes. Oh, man. What are we doing?
I want to see a new Green Lantern, Green Arrow title with the reappearance of the black guy.
Besides saving the world, when have you ever helped black people?
I heard you serve the blue man.
And you have one on your team.
What are you going to ask? Well, I don't know. I saved the world a couple thousand times. I don't know if that's good enough for you. Come on, what's wrong with you?
Oh, wow.
Just think ahead on that one.
Oh, man.
Okay, like West, I find myself also crying for justice. There's just so many problems with the core Justice League title. I mean, I do like it, I do read it, but it's just a fundamental problem with the title. It's like, there hasn't been, like, any kind of vision behind the series since Meltzer left. And I'm actually one of the people that loved Meltzer's material. I thought he really had a vision for things, and I loved what he was doing, all the character moments. He really made us care for the characters on the page. I was pretty riveted for most of the time there. And then he left, and it's like, McDuffie came aboard, and it hasn't seemed like there's been any kind of a guiding vision since he's come aboard. And I realize that's not entirely his fault and not entirely fair, just because that JLA has now become like the new Countdown. It's now the spine of the DCU, and DiDio and company are kind of using it as a springboard for different things and ideas that are happening throughout the DCU, like with the Lightning Saga with Wally West and the Tangent stuff, and now the Milestone stuff. And it looks like what's happening is, with the Trinity gone, they're going to shoehorn in most of the Milestone characters and kind of make this new Justice League of America now, with mostly Milestone characters and a few second stringers. And that's going to be the new JLA, and that's kind of going to kind of push the idea and kind of try to get over the majority of fans. I don't think it's going to work. And then when the Trinity comes back, they'll probably get their own title or something. I'm pretty sure that's the plan, and I'm pretty sure that's why they're kind of axing the plan to have Justice League, what is now Cry for Justice, as an ongoing. I do think that the lateness in the art is part of the factor, but I don't think it's the entire reason behind it. I think that DiDio and company realize that a lot of people are pretty unhappy with the current Justice League of America, and if they go ahead and offer an alternative, which would be the Hal and Ollie League, I think they figured out that that might hurt the sales of the core Justice League of America book, and I think that rather than giving people that option to kind of not continue to buy JLA and just buy Hal and Ollie's League, that they wouldn't give people that option. They'd say, here's, we're going to make it a miniseries, and that's it, and if you want your Justice League fix after that, you got to read our milestone Justice League. I think that's pretty much what it is, and I think that's unfortunate. But I am looking forward to this mini. I think it's got some oddball cast members. I mean, the Starman in that I'm not familiar with. I never read Robinson's old Starman book. I don't know who Mikhail is. Not too familiar with Kongorilla. Not a big fan of Batwoman. Supergirl, I don't even understand why she was really brought back and what happened to Linda Danvers. I don't know why that was done, apart from just sentimentality. I don't know. That's not my thing. But the League itself, I can appreciate that he's using these choices to kind of put together a very unique chemistry that'll probably be played off pretty well, I'm pretty sure. And of course, Hal and Ollie. I mean, shit, I would buy this just to see them back together on some kind of ongoing basis, even if it's only six issues, but whatever. I mean, that's worth the price of admission alone for me. So I'm happy to see that. And it's very tragic that it's only six issues. They talk about a bait and switch. I mean, we were told this is going to be an ongoing, everyone was psyched about it, and now it's a mini, and all we can look forward to after that is just the continuing milestone Justice League, apparently. I mean, that's it.
Well, I'm just going to say that I'm looking. My original hope was that Robinson and that were going to come in and take over after the story wrapped up, and this would be our current Justice League after Final Crisis, and I'm getting a mini series, which just makes the fact that I dropped the main book all the better. Unlike poor West here, who's shaking and trembling, like I can't let go of it. I can't let go of it.
Oh, I can't let you go.
I told you, West. You got to stay away from the Indigo Tribe. They're just giving you bad stuff there. So I'm looking forward to
that.
That's
when
all I'm going to say.
When they offer you one of those sticks with the glowing stuff in it, don't take it.
It's not pixie dust.
Oh. All right. Okay. Well, that's all I have to say about Justice League. Any final thoughts here?
Can't wait.
It's just hey, that
sweet.
Simple. Exactly.
Golden monkeys for the win.
I'm going to go meet those Indigo Lanterns, get some of that space food.
That's awesome. Right. The next podcast with Philip Tan will be with the Indigo Tribe. We'll be just passing it around.
Changes color from each hit.
Yeah. Remember, children, we do not condone the illegal use of marijuana.
But we do find it
amusing. We do condone find the answer to making and smoking some.
Exactly. All right, well, that's going to kind of do it for the podcast. I thought we did it an hour and a half, guys.
Yeah.
It's a new record.
Damn.
Wow. We really didn't. We really just cut through it. I think without Andrew with us, it just
hey,
goes
I'm right here.
Nah, we love you.
Good question to Ron Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
Time flies and you're screwing around.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the Green Lantern Podcast, Episode 4. I would like to thank Darth Enos, Andrew NDB, our host. I mean, I should say our sponsor, Jay Chuchu of Mythos, Caleb Lancaster for helping us with the cast, as always. And we're going to see everybody next time on the podcast, where we will interview Philip Tan, the artist of the current Agent Orange story arc and former artist of Revelations. He will be joining us.
Before we close this out, I'm pretty sure you pronounced every single one of those names wrong.
And you are correct, and I have to run to the bathroom, so I'm not going to argue with you.
It wouldn't be one of our
way.
Episodes.
What?
It would not be one of our episodes.
That's exactly it.
Grammar
Darth
Nazi away.
Ennis, no, like Darth Ennis. See how that works?
Oh, I see.
And then,
no. Darth Ennis,
then course,
Darth Ennis.
And then, of course, you said Jay Chu Chi. You put the I in the U.
You're that evil English
sure.
teacher I had in eighth grade. Somebody even coughed while they were trying to say something. He'd be like, no, say it right.
And then
Essos,
you said
the drug cereal.
and then you said Caleb instead of Caleb. That's pretty obvious. Come
Which
on.
Which I had a Caleb for a neighbor for 10 years, so figure that
it's
out.
It's a real name. You can't get that one. At least get that one.
His brain is instructed to fail.
I don't know. Happy Easter, everybody, anyhow.
Happy Easter.
All right, guys. We'll see you all later on the next podcast with Philip Tan. Good night or day or whatever the time you listen to this cast. Just remember, don't do it sober. I'm kid. I kid.
Right, and good luck and something else. I don't know.
I don't
you know. Hey, you know what line? You know what line doesn't work on a harp player?
What's that?
Hey, baby, want a pluck?
Oh, that's going on the blue.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You away.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern characters are property of DC Comics and do not reflect on the authenticity of this podcast. This has been a great time. I will see you next time with everybody else on the Green Lantern Spotcast. Goodbye.